Today, is your soul saying yes to the Lord Almighty? Well, God bless you. You're tuned in to the 6 Hours of Motivation on Monday with yours truly, Woman, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Well, God bless you for joining in with us today. See, a few of y'all on the board today. And whether you're listening live on the internet or you called in to the program at the appointed time, or you're listening to this on demand. Whenever you're listening to this, I pray that you are saying yes to God. Amen. Why? Because to say yes to God is to agree with God. And to agree with God is to open yourself up for all levels of blessing. Amen, somebody. God wants to bless each of us. And he blessed us with this first word, thank you. That means he already blessed us. Amen, somebody. He's already been good to us. He's already shown us kindness. He's already shown us his glory. And so when we were born, every resource in the world was already here. Whether or not we had access to those resources is not the point. The point is they were already here. Now we have to give him glory because he's the source to every resource. Amen. Without him, there would be no resources. And so we already start off with thanksgiving. Amen. I got some things coming tonight. Missionary King, you're not the only Ken that is funny. Yeah, I'm not talking about myself. Yeah, you know, I know every now and then I can be hilarious, but I found someone that does it, that is funny like you and I, and minister all at the same time. Man, he is hilarious. Christian comedian who's really devoted to spreading the gospel. He had one, I sent you the link. And the link that I sent you is about 1 hour and 20-something minutes long. I hope you had an opportunity to listen to it. But his name is Ken Davis. I got another one that I'm going to parlay of his this evening, and so we can enjoy a little laughter. Laughter does the body like a medicine. It brings heal. It brings healing. It brings wholeness. It makes you feel better. And there's nothing like a good laughter. Amen. And so, Sister Ruth, you are in for a treat later on with Ken Davis. Our lesson today is dealing with Thanksgiving and prayer. Amen. We just celebrated Thanksgiving on last Thursday, and hopefully you all was able to enjoy a meal with your family. Hopefully and prayerfully you were able to just reflect on the goodness of God already in your life. And so I don't know your current situation or status in life, but if you are living, if you are amongst the land of the living and you have the activity of your limbs, you're able to lift your hands up when you think, lift my hand. You're able to stand up when you're ready to stand. You don't need a machine to help you breathe. You are able to do all of these things on your own right now. You have more than enough things to tell God thank you for. If your name made the woke list early this morning, how do you know your name made the woke list? Well, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, 1, 2. Do you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Your name made the woke list. Amen. Because you're hearing me live. You're hearing me now when you're listening. And that says to you that because you're hearing, you're able to hear. Some people need hearing aids. Some people can't hear at all. They're without hearing. And so if you are able to hear this program, you are already blessed. Amen, somebody. So you are blessed already. Just want to get a little introduction before we get into the lesson and I play some music. Our introduction today is when some believers think of thankfulness, like Thanksgiving, they automatically think of the day set aside in the United States as Thanksgiving Day. So I realized that our program goes around the world, and Thanksgiving Day has a particular meaning for us in the United States that may be far different from many people in the world elsewhere. And so not getting into the history of Thanksgiving, but to us in the United States, Thanksgiving is a holiday, and it puts us in remembrance to be thankful. Well, we're going into the season where the body of Christ as a whole celebrate Christmas. Yes, I said Christmas, not Christmas, because I read the word. Ken, I took time and spelled the letters out or sound them out. And I said, we always say Christmas, but we leave the T silent. Let's not leave Christ this season silent. I know we sang the song Silent Night, Holy Night. Let's not leave the T in Christ out. Amen. So we're going into a season where we're celebrating the joy that the Heavenly Father that gave all of us, regardless of our level of sin, an opportunity to be united to God the Father. And it's through his son, Jesus Christ. So we are in a season of Thanksgiving. From here to December the 25th, we are in an Advented mode where we should be thinking about the things of the birth of Christ and the gift that God gave to the world. Amen. And so we have so many things to be thankful for.
But tonight, Paul says in his writing that believers are to be abounding in thanksgiving. People who have been given so much should want to set aside a special day to say thank you. Whether you're in America or in Australia, in Africa, in Europe, wherever you may be listening to this broadcast, and you have more than enough needs met in your life, you have a reason to be thankful. The people who have been given so much should want to set aside, want to do this, want to set aside a special day just to tell God thank you. However, because of God's abundance, every day should be a day of thanksgiving. In other words, you don't have to set aside a separate day, although there's nothing wrong with you having a separate day just to really celebrate and be thankful. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is much more than just one day of the year. Like I like to say, going to church one day out of the week, worshiping God for an hour out of the week, he is worth more than one day. He's worth more than 1 hour. After all, many of us are praying for things throughout every day, times of day, different times of seasons, and so we don't say, well, I got to wait till I get to church before I can pray. Well, I got to wait till this day and this time to just to pray to ask God for favor. No. But every day should be a day that we have a relationship with God, whereby we have the right through his son Jesus to cry, Abba, Father, and be able to talk to him and ask him what to do, how to do, to share with him our needs, to share with him our ambitions, our desires. And we should have that constant fellowship with God. However, as human nature is, certain days we call holidays. And if you spell that out, it's really holy day. It's a day that's set aside for a particular purpose. And so we should have days where we set aside to really, truly reflect on the goodness of God in this world, in our lives. And we shouldn't do it just alone. We should have family, friends, and loved ones to share their experience with. And there's nothing wrong with an occasion of sharing it with people you just don't know. Many people in this season will be volunteering in missions, food kitchens, and so on. We have one coming up, I think, in December here on the 6th in Memphis, where we'll be volunteering to assist in the mission, to assist those that are homeless, to give assistance to those that are less fortunate than we. We, the Church of God in Christ, had just had our yearly holy convocation here back in the beginning of this month. We had our holy convocation here in Memphis, we had, prior to it, we had Christmas in November, where we had many people to sign up online if they could, call into the church information if they could, but we passed out flyers and made sure The people all over the city knew that there were going to be resources at a particular location to help families in times of need, to provide and to provide even wants for the children, to give them things. So that's why we call it Christmas in November. And there's going to be a lot of churches and a lot of programs providing gifts for families and for especially for the kids in this season of giving. Amen. So Thanksgiving, a word there is giving. You know, it's one thing to receive and to be thankful for receiving, but it's a whole nother thing when you are thankful for your overflow and you are the generosity of your heart do for someone else that's less fortunate, or just do for someone else because it was laid upon your heart to do it, to show those acts of kindness. That is what we are to do. Ken brought out a point a little while back, a couple weeks back. You know, if you see your brother hungry and naked, you know, and you have wherewithal to meet that need, it is wrong for you to say, well, I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. May you be fed and may you be clothed. And you got clothes that you ain't even seen in a year. You got food in your cabinet that's about to go out of date. Some of us may have food in our cabinets that have gone out of date. But we won't share it. We won't give it away. And so this is a season to put us in remembrance that I am my brother's keeper. To let us have the mind of Christ. He gave so we can have. So we should give others so that they can have. I've already started. So let me pause right there. There's so much more today. Once again, I want to say, hey, hello, how are you doing? God bless each of you on the line this evening. I see area code 440, area code 216, area code 440, area code 901. God bless all of you, the Lord's children. Thank you for joining us this evening. I will be coming back later on to open up the line. During this time, it's a time of prayer. And I will ask that you would lay on your heart your 10 most wanted that does not involve you. Amen. Amen. Your 10 most wanted prayers that does not involve you directly. It may be indirectly to you, like if you're praying for a family member, or sibling, or your offspring, but it must not be for you, for say, for you, because we can be stingy with our prayers, selfish with our prayers. Me, Lord, me. What about me, Lord? What about me, Lord? What about? No, we're not doing that. Especially in this season of Thanksgiving. The Bible says that whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. So if you're praying that God will meet the needs of others, then those seeds that you're praying, that you're sowing through prayer, someone else will be praying on your behalf, praying that God will meet your needs. And then when the occasions arrive where you are able to bring resolution to someone's need, because you have the resource to do so, and you do it, those are seeds sown into a spiritual ground. and there be need that you have that God will bless you to have. But this is the other one I like the most. The Bible said, if you will delight yourself in the Lord, you know what the word delight means. You know, if I can give you this picture from my mind, delight would be me sitting at the dessert table with every favorite dessert I enjoy. And they saying, pick as many as you want, eat to your full. Delight. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You mean tell me I can have that lemon pie, that lemon pound cake, that strawberry cake? You mean tell me I can have that fresh banana pudding, you know, the real pudding that's been put in a double boiler and real made pudding, not that instant stuff, you know? That, see, my mouth already getting water now. I need to stop right there. Stop buying it. Cut it out. Because when you talk about delight, that means things that you enjoy, things that you desire, things that you want. He said he'll grant you the desires of your heart. You ever wanted something, but and then all of a sudden somebody gave it to you? Even before you asked or without you asking, God opened the door. See, there go another reason to be thankful. Hallelujah. This is the season. And I'm telling you, he does it all the time. I delay. Excuse me. Here we go. Testimony season again. I can never forget this, how laid upon my heart to buy another man of God a pair of shoes. And it's not that he didn't have the wherewithal to do. It's just that I saw the pair of shoes that was on his feet, and I thought he was better. He deserved better. And without him knowing, I sized his foot up by putting my side by his so I can gauge the size of his shoes. The style of shoes I seen him wearing in times before, I went, and the Lord told me which store to go to. And I went to that particular store, and I began to search around until I found that type shoe. And it didn't matter to me how much they cost. Paid the full amount. And after getting the salesman to help me, which I glad he did because I was nosing, I said, something wrong about this one shoe. This doesn't seem right. And it was off by half a size. So they took that, made sure I had both the right size and there, the left and the right. And I said, well, okay. Well, in my mind, I said, well, I've done my assignment. This is what was laid upon my heart to do. The salesman began to point in the direction that was behind me. And I turned, I didn't see no one, so I'm thinking it was something else. I said, oh, okay, well. He said, look, turn around, look. I said, okay, so I'm ready. Yeah, you know, and I didn't know if he was trying to get me to buy more stuff or what. I said, I'm good. He said, no, look. And finally, I slowed down to look to see what he was talking about. And there was a sign in the area of the shoe that I purchased, was about to purchase, that said, buy one, get two free. And I said, huh? And I got closer to the sign and read it again to make sure I wasn't just tripping. I said, this real? He said, yeah. And I can only remember wanting a month prior to buy a pair of shoes. But because I had enough money to do so, I said, I'm going to hold on to this money because maybe something that I can do for the Lord. Maybe God will have me to do something else. I'm not going to spend it till he give me a release. And I believe God honored that earlier sacrifice and turned around because I was willing to give away and do for someone else, turned around and blessed me with not one pair of new shoes, but two. And just blessed me like that. So you can't be God-given. So when you do for others, he'll do for you. I promise you. I'm a witness. I've given away stuff. Given. And at one time, God gave me 6 brand new suits at one time, and I didn't have to get none of them altered. They looked like they was tailor-made already for me. And so God will bless you with your desires when you delight yourself in him. So I encourage you, have the heart of thanksgiving and all of your prayer. So we'll get to that when we get our lesson. So are you ready for prayer? Okay, let's pray. I done too much talking. Lord, have mercy. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, you are our everything. You're the air we breathe. You're the wind that blows on our skin. You're the sun that beams light and warmth upon our head and shoulders. You're the same God that sends the rain and the snow. But you're also the same God that's given us shelter to keep us safe from the elements. Father, we first just want to bless you by saying you are our everything. There's none like you. In all the earth, in all the universe, there is no none like you, Father. You are the unique, all-sufficient one. And we thank you for your love and your generosity towards us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy concerning us. Yes, Lord, we have been more than unworthy of your love, of your favor, of your grace. But nevertheless, you have extended that to us. So today, Lord God, we thank you first that our names made the woke list. Father, we pray now not for ourselves because you already shown us favor. So, Lord, we thank you for the favor that we have already received. But God, there's some things that we must lay before you. Your word have encouraged us to come boldly before the throne of grace. And so today, God, we come boldly before you on behalf of someone else whose health has been challenged. Lord, I submit even Pastor Lockett and his wife before you that labor in the gospel. I pray that as the doctors are doing their part to figure out what's happened and figure out what needs to be done to keep it from happening again, God, I pray for revelation knowledge in their direction. We pray for full recovery for Sister Mikhail, that you will strengthen her body. We pray for mental stability for our wives, our sisters. We pray for firm decision-making and fair and honest trade amongst the leaders. Father, we pray your will be done. Have your own way, Lord, for you are Alpha and Omega, Alpha and Omega. You're the author and finisher of our faith. You're the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And you have even said that you tell the end before the beginning even begins. There are promises in our lives that we have not seen yet come to pass. We pray for the spirit of patience to rest upon our shoulders so that even as the text tonight will tell us in Philippians to be anxious for nothing. Help us, Father God, not to be anxious concerning the things of this world, the place where anxiety can take over. God, help us to be steadfast in your word. Help us to abound or always abide in your truth, not our truth, because our truth is subjective based on our current condition. But your truth doesn't waver. Your truth has been the same from the beginning and even now, and it will be the same at the end. So we thank you now, Lord. So many things that we can pray for, but Lord, I'm just thankful that you have given us the mind to pray. You said in your word that they that seek after you must believe that you are God and that you are a rewarder to them that diligently seek after you. So God, today we thank you that you have helped us to keep running after you. We don't have to run out of money, because if it wasn't you, there would be no money. We don't have to run after fame, because if it wasn't you, there would be no fame. We don't have to run after popularity, because if it wasn't for you, there would be no population to be popular among. So we thank you, Lord. That disease, the coronavirus, could have took out the whole world. But you saw fit to limit the amount, although the amount was great. We thank you that even through the variants, the changing and development or progress of that disease, we thank you that it is still manageable. It may not be favorable, but it's still manageable. We thank you that our societies have come back to a particular norm. Now, Father, we pray for two more things before we close out in prayer. We pray, number one, three more things before we close out in prayer. We pray for those that are in a season of bereavement. For in this year, many have died. And whether it was from regular or normal or what's called natural process of death or death through some other disease, God, we pray that the family members of those who have gone on, we pray for those that are remaining, that they are strengthening one another. We pray that they themselves will have a right relationship with you, for when their appointed time comes, they'll be ready to meet you. Pray, Lord, for your continuous grace. We thank you for it. We thank you that far beyond our comprehension, that your grace truly is amazing. And we thank you for it. And we thank you for this Advent season where we're moving into the celebration of life. Lord, we pray that we honor you as we move into this season. And we do the things that you have put in our hearts to do individually. We thank you for corporate fellowship. We thank you for individual faith. We love you today, Father. And we ask for your continuous guidance over our lives. All these things we pray for and receive is because of the mighty, majestic name of Jesus Christ. We say amen and amen. Well, once again, God bless each of you, and we are praying here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. We're praying for you and your family. One of our faithful listeners is gone on to glory. He is at rest now, Brother Onion. He's gone on. And so we pray for his loved ones that are remaining, that they are able to continue to carry on with their life and their call in life, that they would do the things that God has for them to do. And so many things have happened in this year of 2020. And so, but nevertheless, whatever has happened, you're still here. And because you are still here, there's purpose for you here. Amen and amen. I'm going to break for a moment of commercial, and I'll be right back with you soon.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya.
Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Amen, amen. Amen. We want you to be careful this holiday season. Wherever you're going, however you're traveling, we want you to be mindful of your surroundings. They're already starting to break into people's cars, carjacking going on. So while you're out and about, we want you to pay attention to what you are doing and the people moving around you. And if you're just so happily shopping, make sure you're putting
all of those things in the trunk of your car out of the sight of people just who's able to walk by and look in and see that you got a lot of stuff. Because it don't take but a moment for people to break your window, snatch your belongings, and run with it. Ladies, this is not the time to take along with you the big bulky purses with the long straps. You want to be careful. Put that strap over your head. Keep your purse close to your side. And make sure that you are always aware of people just coming up close to you, especially when you're alone. Amen. If you do not have to shop by yourself, please don't do it. If you shop in a group, then there's safety in numbers. So we want you to be careful this holiday season. You have a lot of evil out here. And so regardless to where we think we live, what side of town we're on, all it takes is a quick moment. There are many times people think, and because it's cold, they can leave their car running with their kids in the back seat. If you don't have a separate door switch where you can lock your door behind you, don't leave your car running. And definitely don't leave your children in the car alone. Too many times this year already have people jumped into cars that was running. And kids, infants, are in the back seat, in the child seat, while the vehicle is being stolen. So, smart decisions. Let's not put our little ones in harm's way. And so, we want you to be safe in this season. Amen. You can be safe. God loves you. We love you, too. I'm going to let you listen to Ken Davis now. This one is entitled, we're going to do a few minutes of this. This is from his segment, I'm an Idiot. Oh, wow. Sometimes we've said that. Have you said that before? I'm an idiot. We might have said it because of what we've done or what we're doing. So we're going to play a little bit of that now.
Still a turn it over. Sometimes I chase those people. Off the charts, a thing called ADHD. So I'm always thinking things. I've got some notes down here, what I want to talk about. I haven't even started yet because other stuff has come into my mind. Heidi, see, I was going to go on this trip, and then I got lost. But I want to encourage you. I've been married for 52 years. I said that to a group of ministers I was doing a program for. I teach communication. I said, I've been married for 52 years. 1,000 of them. There was over 1,000 of them stood in a standing ovation. Isn't that interesting when you get a standing ovation for sticking with it for 52 years? So I just let them clap, and then they sat down. I said, just seven different women. And the preacher stopped clapping. If you have an experienced life, do you watch a couple thousand preachers try to raise their applause?
Wow, we got it. Chow, wow.
sometimes I do stuff just for myself. But I've been doing research on these dogs, and I've read, and nobody believes this, that a Yorkie, it was actually a Chihuahua, but a Yorkie can do it as well. A Yorkie can kill, a Yorkie can kill a German Shepherd. This is written, proven scientific truth. They get caught in their throat. I'm an idiot. I have a son-in-law that sings in a gospel group. He's a gospel quartet, Southern gospel music. And I get so tickled. Nobody else notices it, I don't think, but I get tickled watching those guys. Because the tenors, who are the elite of those groups, they are the prima donnas of those groups. And for those of you who may not know what Southern gospel is like, think back to barbershop quartet. Only they really want to share their faith with people, so they sing. And they've got a tenor and a bass, and all the songs end with the tenor going way up and the bass going way down. And when the tenors go up, their foot goes up in the air like this. It's a every song. But when we tell a good joke, we don't go. And I couldn't figure this out. I was sitting at dinner with my family one night, and when you have, how many of you have children this year? When you have children, all sense of I've got it all together goes away, because they're not afraid to tell you what's going on. So I'm sitting there, and the grandchildren are going, ew, gross. And my wife said, what is it? Look at Grandpa. Well, what's wrong with Grandpa? He's got a hair grown out of it. Oh, ew. And I said, honey, tell them about respect. And she said, ew. She said, you need to do something about that. So I always do research, and I found out you could buy a razor for $120. It's just made for your nose. Just a circular. I know it's disgusting, but you start it. You wipe it off on your pants and get ready for next time. I'm not going to spend $120. I found one in some magazine that you could buy, I think it was $12 or something like that. It was mechanical. You squeeze like a pair of pliers, but it's not pliers. It has two cylinders. One goes this way, one goes this way. It's got serrated edge. The day it came, I was patting myself on the back. I saved my family $100 with this thing. I wish I had invented this. I'd be a millionaire. And I put it in my nose and squeezed it. It doesn't cut nothing. But it grabbed everything in that nostril. I got tears shooting 2.5 feet out of this ear. Out of this eye, not out of this. That would really be pain, wouldn't it? I got tears shooting 2.5 feet out of this eye. I'm running around the house with this thing dangling out of my nose, and I ran into where my wife was and said, I bought it, but it caught my nose. It hurts, and it's on fire. And she said, oh, grow up and yank it. And my foot went up just like that.
Time. That is Ken Davis. He has a wonderful skit. I mean, he has one called Be Bold for Jesus. Being Bold for Jesus. And you will love it. Love it from beginning to end. He is hilarious. If you have sight, he is moving around the states, and he's literally a 70-something-year-old man too. But he's not moving like an old man on the stage. He's really getting around there as he shares his face in between several jokes of his. I listened to him earlier today, and so he is very hilarious. I think you all will enjoy him. Look him up on YouTube, Pluto TV, wherever you can find it. Ken Davis, the comedian. And you can just enjoy him for yourself. Once again, a very, very funny guy. Enjoyed his skit altogether. Do you have your Bibles today? Do you have your Bibles? Amen.
Hopefully you have your Bibles. And I want to go into the study that I have prepared for you tonight. And these are prayers of thankfulness. Amen. I'm going to do some reading tonight so I get to test my reading skills. Amen. as we read these, read the lesson on tonight, want to share some things with us. And throughout the Bible, as we read it, we can often find many times prayers concerning thanksgiving and so on. So just want to read a few for you just to get us going. Our central verse tonight is one coming from Philippians chapter 4, and I quoted part of it earlier. And for the sake of understanding and clarity, for the most part tonight, I will be reading the New Living Translation. However, I will repeat this particular scripture in the King James. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, in the New Living Translation states, worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Straightforward, right? Don't worry about anything. Are you worrying? Do you have things that you worry about? Are you worrying about where the next meal coming from, how you're going to pay your rent, where you're going to live, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear? Are you worrying? Yeah, you know, the gospel writers have to tell us not to worry, take no thought about tomorrow. For us not to think about those things in the sense of worryation. In our country, the anxiety rate in the average American has shot through the roof. In every circle of life, you see people dealing with anxiety, oppression, depression, sadness, and called many people to stop living. And that's how some become homeless. Not everyone on the same page now. But when you start allowing the life to overwhelm you, it can make you make bad decisions. And in making bad decisions, you can make decisions that can cost you everything. And so Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. That's a very key verse for us to take full understanding of. It's really kind of self-explanatory, but we'll add a few more words to it here for understanding purpose. Tell God what you need. That means your need, not your wants. The problem is we have confused our want with our need. There is a far different from the things you want versus the things you need. But in a society like ours that's full of commercialism, it tells you, you need these, you need this, you need that. You're not somebody unless you got this, unless you're driving that, unless you're only this. And so we get confused and we think that there's a difference in having a pair of pants that costs $10 versus a pair of pants that costs $100. And we're give up everything to try to get a pair of pants for $100 that won't last longer than the pants for $10. I'm telling the truth. What's the purpose of pants? Well, it's simple. It's to cover your bottom. So if the $10 pants, and don't get me wrong now, if you can afford the $100 pants, and that's what you want, by all means, get them. Now, I got suits, so that means, I wish they was $100. That would be less. Lord have mercy. So, but anyhow, is a difference between what you want and what you need. So the text here tells us simple. Don't worry about anything. Instead, tell God about everything. That's your desires too. To learn how to be honest with yourself and honest with God. And when you're honest with him, he'll make it simple for you. He'll tell you, listen, the grass is not greener on the other side. And as Missionary Ken pointed out, if it is, it's growing faster. That means you're going to have to call me to come cut it, me being Pastor Bonnet or someone like me. And now you got to spend more money because you're so busy trying to keep it green, you got to pay for that expensive water bill. And you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, and you don't realize the Joneses are just trying to keep an image so that you think they got it all together. But they just one step away from a romaine noodle themselves. So tell God what you need. Conjunction here, and that means together. Not only do you tell God what you need, but in the same process, you tell God thank you for what you have. You know, if you want a home, I mean a house, and you live in an apartment, here's a way you first of all begin to show that you're thankful. Number one, you tell him thank you for the apartment. Number two, you keep the apartment clean and organized. Yeah. Because if you don't keep your department clean and organized, then what you think you're going to do when you get a house that's bigger than your apartment? If you find it hard to keep your studio apartment or your one-bedroom apartment neat and organized, what are you going to do when God gives you that starter house with two bedrooms or three bedrooms in it, or the dining room and kitchen? You need to understand that there's a process in showing thankfulness. A lot of times we want more, but we haven't appreciated the less. So the real question is, why should God give you more? And so we have to be mindful about that. We have to be mindful that and being mindful about what God has already done, we have to understand that sometimes we ask for stuff we're not ready for yet. You know, as much as I love my big truck. Oh yeah, I got a Silverado. Man, when people see it, and I, ooh, wow, man, that's a nice truck. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people with little smaller trucks, little four cylinders. And I tell them, I say, man, that's a nice truck. They say, nah, man, your truck. I say, nah, you're nice. How much it costs to fill your gas up? Oh, man, I get it filled up for about $30. $30? $30 for gas to get over $350. It was costing $90 to fill mine up. Where it got up to, I was taking about $120 to fill it. What? Now, man, well, I guess I do like my truck. Because sometimes we don't understand the cost for the thing that we want later. Men, you want a wife, but you don't want to keep a job. You don't want a wife. Because it's your job to be the head of your home. Don't mean you got to make the most money. But it do mean you got to contribute, fella. I ain't going to pick on the women today. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to move on with the text. I'm going to start right there. Yeah, I heard the sister say thank you. Amen. So in the text it says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Verse 7 goes on, then you will experience God's peace. Wow. Now for my King James lovers, let me read this in the language you understand. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7, King James Version. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. Let it be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ. You ever met somebody and say, what about the little mama? That's because they haven't been thankful. They haven't let God, they haven't made their request known unto God. See, when you do this, this is a prerequisite, then you can avoid losing your heart. You can avoid losing your mind. Because it will maintain a level of understanding for you to let you know sometimes God is not saying no to you. He's saying just wait a little while longer. Or when he do say no to you, it is because he knows that wasn't best for you. So in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, and I'm going back to the New Living Translation from here on out of this tonight. Ruth, chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, it says, where did you gather all of this grain today? Naomi asks, where did you work
May the Lord bless the one who helped you. So Ruth told her mother-in-law about the man in whose seal she had worked. She said, the man I work with today is named Boaz. And so all my Bible studies, all my Bible readers, they already know this story, so they already done got a level of happiness because they know the end of the story. But this was a level of thanksgiving, how Ruth stayed with her mother-in-law, although her mother-in-law didn't have a husband herself. Both her sons were dead. So these women was all alone. And Naomi's tent, Ruth back home, but she said, no, I'm going to go with you. Your God going to be my God, and your people going to be my people. And so she had made a commitment. And so she's in, and this culture here, when they obeyed the law of God, they knew that they was not to harvest everything off of every tree or plant that stock, that they were to leave certain things there so that the homeless and those that was hungry could come and glean. And that was called gleaning. Come and glean, and that means pick up the leftovers. That they had to work for it. They would come in and pick up the, and so because Ruth had did this and word had got out that, and so Boaz had told them, y'all leave a little extra for her. Matter of fact, put some in a basket. And so she was thankful. And so she would take it to her mother-in-law, and they would have food enough to eat. And so she was thankful. She was thankful for what was taking place. And later on, that set her up to be blessed and to be received and to remarry. And to and God bless so many things. The story goes on and on. So I have to stop there because I get caught up in the story. But we see someone who's thankful that although they don't have a husband that can help manage all the household needs, that will be their protector, because that was the role of the man in that time. Here she was found favor with God, and her thanksgiving is she just didn't glean for herself, but she made sure that her mother-in-law had wherewithal. She was young enough that she could have went back home and remarried someone there in her own culture. But she was determined not to abandon a mother-in-law. In other words, you know, we became family because of marriage. And just because the marriage is no longer doesn't mean that we're not still family. Yeah, I see you, Emily, right through that story a little bit there. There you go. Amen. 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 That you maintain that family tie, even though something else had happened, a transition, and you remain faithful with someone. And God bless her, open doors for her because of that. Psalms 100 and the fourth verse there. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. We love to tell you that in the church. Enter into the gate with thanksgiving. That means when you drove up on the parking lot of the church, you should have, whatever fussing you were doing before, while you was on the street with your wife and your children, as soon as you drove up on the parking lot of the church, you should have said, honey, I thank God for you. I love you. Ooh, we made it here safe without accident or incident. Hey, children, we're about to have a wonderful worship experience. Y'all come on in here. Let's have a good time. Let's show the Lord how much we care and we're thankful
for corporate fellowship. You know, so it says enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So many of us, we get into we have such a negative disposition. And then we have the nerve, the audacity, put on a flagrant smile. I ain't gonna meddle. I'm gonna stop right there. It says, go into his courts with praise. That means, you know, a lot of the churches, when you come in, there's a little foyer area there when you first open the door. That's the court. Or if your church, a small church, may have a porch on it. And then you walk into the sanctuary itself. So when you walk into his courts, you're supposed to have praise, regret, not negativity, praise. Give thanks unto him and praise his name. See, there are some specifics there. But how many of, when we go to church, we follow that model? This is just food for thought. 1 Thessalonians 5:10 tell us, be thankful in all circumstances, in all situations. I'm sorry. For this is God's will for you who being in Christ. Wait a minute, preacher. I have a problem with that statement. I know. But if God grow you up, you'll learn to get over it. It says give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances, I'm to give thanks. Lord, I just lost my job. But you're still alive. Give thanks. True story. I'm not even exaggerating. 2002, what it was. It was 2002. Here in Memphis, program had been on one assignment a long time, advancing in it. And when it came time for them to bring me on full time, they was giving me other responsibilities that I was doing, and the owner of the business actually worked in the business. And we were sitting there, and it was time for that review. And sitting there with the review, Brother Charles, he tells me, well, we decided that we need more time. Now, I'd have been with him. He'd have promoted me up in it, giving me a new position, new opportunity. He said, we decided that we need more time. I said, now, I don't mean no disrespect, but I come from management. And we know within 30 days whether or not someone is qualified to really work with us, and we know through there how they come to work and what work they produce. Sir, no disrespect, but who is we? It's just me and you. And you're the owner of the company. You're not just the manager. You're the owner. And he said, well, are we? I said, please don't say that, because you're the owner, sir. You're talking to me. Please don't say we. If you don't want to hire me, that's fine. It is your right to hire who you want to hire or not. Just say that you're not ready to hire nobody now. I'm fine with it like it is. And we concluded that segment, that conversation, and I went on out and finished working and doing the job that I was doing, and went home. Later on, I get a phone call from the temp service saying, Mr. Bonnet, appreciate it, but your service is not going to be needed at such and such place any longer. What's strange is how well he talked about you. He talked, you know, so well about your personality, your commitment, but then he just said you're not going to be a good fit. And they said, we're confused, but we also shocked because we've been serving him for a long time, and he had never kept anyone as long as he kept you. So truth is, we are really surprised you have lasted this long, because he never kept nobody that we sent. He always let them go before the time that he was supposed to hire them. And they asked me, so what happened? I told them. I told them about the conversation. They said, wow. Well, you've been with us for over a year, and you qualify for vacation. So, hey, take the next week off. You're getting paid. And I hung up the phone. Yes, yes, praise the Lord. And just started praising God. And my older son was there, and he saw me praising the Lord. And he said, what, Dad, what? He said, what, they give you a raise? What's going on? I said, I just got fired. And I started shouting and jumping around the front room. You know, so the roof, I you know how you like to run around the church? I started running around the front room. My son caught up with me and stopped me. Wait a minute. Did you say you just got fired? I said, yes, that means God got something better for me. Hallelujah. And true enough, he did. I had a craving Taco Bell that next week. I get the Taco Bell, the craving left. And so because the craving left, I left. But I had my resume in the back seat. And I was driving past a Walgreens that they was building on a corner. And I looked back and I saw my resume. I said, well, hey, let me stop by and give these people my resume. They're going to need somebody to work that brand new building. By the time I drove to the house, which wasn't but a few minutes away from that location, I get a phone call asking me, can I start? When can I start? I said, I can start when you want me to start. And she said, well, we have openings here, and we have opening. She said, I see that you come from management. She said, I already have my management staff. I have a supervisor position, but you have to go to another location. I said, that's fine with me. If you're going to give me a job, hey, let me know when I need to start. Called me back a few moments later, said, no, I think I'm going to keep you at this location. I sent the person that was, man, I sent him to the other location. And I'm going to make you my new photo specialist, head specialist, and paid me more than what I was making at the other job. So I got fired and hired the second week later with a raise. See, when you have a thankful heart, and that's why I trust the scriptures, because I did that earnest from my heart, and so I'm a witness. So for me, when I read that scripture, I can put a TP back, the word TP, tried and proven, because he's proven what he'll do. And move on. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. devote yourselves to prayer, a alert mind, and a thankful heart. Do y'all see a pattern building in all the scriptures that I'm reading? Devote yourselves to prayer with a alert mind. That means we need to be paying attention. We need to be active and interactive with our life and our world. Some of us, we don't know what's going on in our community. So we don't know how to pray. We don't know what's going on in the church, so we don't know how to pray. We don't know what's going on in our own homes, so we don't pray. But this scripture here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, tell us to devote ourselves, devote, dedicated, devote, that's purpose, y'all. Devote yourself to prayer with a alert mind and a thankful heart. Let me clear up the uncertainty here. This don't mean you have to be on your knees with your hands folded up 24/7. No. Even as I'm talking to you all, I'm praying that that my words are clear and that my speech is meaningful so that it may bless someone. Prayer is something that you can do continuously within yourself. It is how you position, how you petition God. And so prayer you do from the heart. Yes, we can humble ourselves by getting down on our knees and folding our hands together. And that's a prayer position. But that's an outward thing. Have you ever got on your knees to pray and couldn't pray? You was on your knees, your hands were together, but wasn't no words coming out your mouth because you were either tired or you were going through something that you didn't even know what to say to God at the time. You ever been through that? I have. Well, and finally, I just got to the point where I said, God, I don't even know how to pray right now. Let me talk to you just for a moment. God, this just don't make no darn sense what they doing. I don't understand. Now, it wasn't me getting out of line. Because I realized God is my king, but he's also my daddy. I encourage my sons when they go through issues where they need clear understanding, hey, just come talk to me. Just tell me what's up. And you'd be surprised. They come across things and it's like, Dad, listen, I already know you the preacher and all of that, but Dad, I just, and they'll tell me this. So, okay, well, what you think? Well, Dad, that's why I'm coming to you. I'm trying to figure out what to do. Do you really want to know what to do? Because a lot of times, that'd be our problem. We go to God with the statement, Lord, I don't really know what to do. But in the back of your mind, you do know. Because the Holy Spirit told you to leave it alone, but you bothered it anyway. Now you invested, and you don't know how to walk away. Because fear of embarrassment, fear of what people may say. So a lot of our circumstances are in situations that we're in are because of fear of being shamed. That's amazing. Folks that don't pay our bills, won't give us any money to pay our bills. We're worrying about what they're going to say about our bills. What a world we live in. Move on, preacher. Move on. All right. Philemon. Yes, it is a script. It is a book called Philemon in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. Amen. It only have one chapter, so it's Philemon, verse 4. I could say chapter 1, verse 4, but it's only one chapter. So Philemon, the 1, verse 4, New Living Translation, says, I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon. Paul is talking, and he's saying, man, listen, when I think about you, I thank God for you. Matter of fact, you are mentioned in my prayers. Do you mention other people in your prayer about just you? See, sometimes we're so caught up in fussing about people that we forget they need prayer too. We need prayer. And so there's a lot to that. I really can read that whole text there, but my time is kind of gone away from me, so I won't dive into it. Encourage you to go back and read Philemon. It's a good read. It's only one chapter, so you can read that before bedtime tonight. Philemon, Philemon. Read that tonight. It's only one chapter. Take you less than 15 minutes to read it. Read it. Be encouraged by it. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 says, Timothy, thank God for you. Here you go again, thanking God for somebody else. See, are you thanking God for the people in your circle? Are you thanking God for the people that have helped you along the way? Are you thanking God for the Six Eyes Radio Network? After all, we are here doing what we know to do individually to be a blessing in your life the best way we can from afar. So if you're thankful for that, remember to pray for us. Amen. Once again, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he says, Timothy, I thank God for you. The God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did, those that came before us. Night and day, I continuously remember you in my prayers. Night and day. That means he's praying more than just once. So here's a pattern that we're seeing. Prayer is not just for nighttime. Amen. Prayer is not just for more than just the nighttime. King David, we find this story in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Often we read to you 2 Chronicles 29. But we're on 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and 10 starts where he's thanking God. Now, there's something corporately here. So it says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. Here it is. He's the king. He's the leader. Are you a leader? Are you a manager? Are you someone of authority? Do you have other people looking up to you for direction, answers, understanding, et cetera? Then my question is, can they see you honoring God in Thanksgiving? Do they ever see you pray over your food? Do they ever see you say, thank God for the job, thank God for the career, thank God for this, that? Do they ever see you acknowledging God in a positive way? Well, here it is, the king, you know. He the head. The Bible says, wherefore David blessed the Lord. David didn't wait for the priest just to bless the Lord, but David himself blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatest and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. See, we, you know, sometimes we want to call this a sugarcoating. In other words, he's trying to sound real good to God. You know, fellas, when you was coating your wife beforehand, when you met her, you told her how good she looked to you. You told her how wonderful she smelled. You know, you began to talk about what you were talking about to her. and all along, she was like a sponge. She was just sucking it all in. Because she was seeing your gratitude towards her. Let me keep reading. Verse 12. Well, nope. I stopped that. So, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor comes of thee, and thou reignest over all. In thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great. In other words, my authority, my leadership, My success, it comes from you, God, not me. All that I have is because of you, Lord, not because of my wonder. I'm not going to behave as the devil did and think myself to be something great, forgetting that I can never be greater than who made me. In thy hand, it is to make great and to give strength unto all. That means he don't really have no respect for person. He bless who he want to bless. Verse 13 says, now therefore, our God, we thank thee. We, corporate, wherever you at, when was the last time your nation corporately blessed the Lord? That's food for thought. Therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? Now this David talking about. He said, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Of all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. Lord, this offering that we're giving you, we giving it to you, but Lord, sure, it was yours from the beginning. Yeah, when we, Lord, this tithe, this offering, everything that we've given to you, Lord God, it was already yours. So thank you for giving it to us. That's why we're giving it back to you, because we're thankful. Verse 15 says, for we are strangers before thee and sojourn as were all of our fathers. Our days on the earth are as the shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thy holy name of thy hand. In other words, everything we're doing for the church, Lord, is because of you. Everything we're doing for the community of the church is because of who you are, Lord. You're the one gave us skills to do what it is that we're about to do. So he says, we have prepared to build thee an house for thy holy name come of thy hand and is all thine own. Verse 17, I know also, my God, that thou hast tried the heart and has pleasure in uprightness. In uprightness, excuse me. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people. See, when we serve in our local churches, when we serve in our communities, when we are laboring, witnessing, when we are doing these things, we'll do these things willingly of our own will. Even if it's asked of us to do it, we're to do it with a glad heart. Verse 18 says, O Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our father, keep this forever in the imagination of the thought of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments day to morning, and thy statutes, and to do all things, and to build a place for which I have made provision. Lord, you told me I couldn't build a house because my too much blood on my hands. But I done made sure all the provision is laid up so that my son can carry on the work. Some things, people, we're not going to be able to do in our lifetime. But we can prepare it so that our sons, our daughters, can carry on the vision, finish where we left off. And so we have to prepare certain things. You may have not finished high school, but you can prepare that your kids can finish high school. You may not have gone to college, but you can prepare so that your children can go to college or have trade. You can prepare for them to go the next level. Verse 20, I'm done. And David said unto all the congregation, now bless the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, your God. Now bless the Lord your God, and all the congregation bless the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. All the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed down their heads
and worship the Lord and the King. They humbled themselves. They gave God glory for all the things he had done. So I'm at the end of the program. I'm switching back over to the system there. And I want to say thank you. Some of you have stayed on with me. I think I lost maybe one, two callers there. But I picked up two more calls. Okay. Amen. Well, hopefully tonight something was said to encourage you. I appreciate you calling in to the program. I hope and pray that you enjoyed Ken Davis, our comedian tonight. We were listening to parts of his stand-up called I'm an Idiot. But I encourage you to listen to the one talking about being bold for Jesus Christ. It's an hour and 24 minutes long, but it is worth it from beginning to end. This old man is hilarious. He is 73 years old. Don't look quite 73, but who said that 73 have to look real old? So he has done a wonderful job. I encourage you to pull him up on your electronic devices and sit around with your family and enjoy him. Mike Jr. is the other one that we had the other week. And when you put in their name, put the word comedian behind, so their names are common. Or if you just do a search for a Christian comedian, that way you get comedians that have clean comedy. It is all right for us to laugh. We need to laugh. Start laughing. We'll start spending all of our hard-earned money, saved money, and retired money, the government money, on medicine that ain't doing nothing for us. I don't care what they say. So these medicines are called maintenance drugs. Why do I want to maintain a position I want to get rid of? That's my way of thinking. I want a cure. So, in other words, and so I need a true medicine, one that's going to bring wholeness and healing to me. Amen. It's going to really be beneficial to me, body, mind, and spirit. In other words, laughter is good. It's very good.
Amen.
Amen. So, how y'all doing on this evening? I opened up all the mics. I think every one of them open. Good evening, everyone. Did y'all enjoy it? Did you enjoy it?
Howdy, Dad.
Hey, how you doing?
Trying to be good back here, even though I'm being a little ornery.
Well, that's just who you is. So, you know, that's just who you is. Right. While I'm on the show, you have text me three pictures. I'm trying to do the broadcast, and she's texting me pictures. and so I can't look at the pictures because I know they're going to pull me away from the message.
Oh.
You being honorary.
Dad, I got to do something, and I was asked to do this, and this is being done in memory of my dad.
All right.
He said the next time that you made the comment that we were going to go to a commercial and you'd be right back with us, he said he asked me to pull this one off on you, okay?
Okay.
You know when you said, okay, we're going to go to a commercial and I'll be right back with you?
Uh-huh.
He said the next time you said that to ask you, would your front and sides go on vacation?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to ask the officer. Yeah, my front went on vacation, and
my side. They said, you know, I'm just not moving from this spot. So,
yeah, well, that was done in honor of Daddy.
All right.
Hey, if you guys got the money, I want to go to Niagara Falls again. I was there when I was 13. So you talk about going on a trip, that'd be a good, cool idea.
See, okay. I've been to Niagara Falls one time, and we enjoyed it. Next year, our Shepherd's Conference is going to be there with our national church. So we'll be in Niagara Falls, so I get to go again next year. And so looking forward to it. So I'm saving. The saving starts now. Amen. We want to do something. You plan for it and start early. Amen.
Amen.
I did hear.
Pastor Bonnet, first I've got a takeaway from your message. When you were talking about how the men that are wanting to look for a wife, they got a plan for it and everything, since I was on mute and everything, I go to Emily, I looked at her, I says, so-and-so, meaning one of the preachers that are on the Six Eyes Radio Network, I says, well, he should have been listening tonight because that was right down his alley.
Yeah, because the scripture said he that findeth a wife. I'm going to stop right there.
Yep. So, and then secondly, when you're ready, I've got my little comic piece I was going to do that I mentioned a couple weeks ago.
All right. I think I heard Brother Six. Six, how you doing this evening?
Doing good, sir. How you doing?
All right. Did you get to hear any of Ken Davis tonight?
Yeah, he doesn't sound 73.
At
sounds
all.
Very youthful. Yeah, funny.
and to see him on stage, especially the little Chihuahua segment, he was shaking and jerking like the little Chihuahuas do. Anybody know the little Chihuahuas, you know how they, when they go to barking, they whole little body, their whole body just started shaking like they got a tremor. Mm-hmm. and they're barking, but while they're barking, they're backing up at the same time. And that's what he was doing on the stage. he was crossed over, shaking. I'm like, Lord have mercy. I said, is not a dog. He said, never moving forward. He said, that's not a dog. That's not a dog. That's something else.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but that was funny. That was funny. I enjoyed it. I thought it was unique because as I look around for these different people to present, I was glad to find one with the name of so between Ken and myself, we found somebody that's our elder. He's older than both of us, and if he can still be hilarious at they're hilarious and relevant at 73 and still minister the word. He is definitely one act to follow.
Yeah.
You got to follow it well. Amen. You got to follow it well because he was very good. And again, that was only, I think I only played for you all probably about 12 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes of it. And that particular one was about 40 minutes altogether for that particular segment. But he is very good. He's very good. I was panicking earlier. You know, the scripture said, "Be anxious for nothing." But in prayer and supplication, and listen, before the show started, I went to the, when I pulled the app up to
to log into the board and everything, and I logged into it. I had the red screen was up where how it pops up when it's time to close the show. And the time on it says next show 1 hour, 8 minutes away. I'm like, oh my God, I done messed up. Oh, what I do. Oh, I got called. And I called our station manager before I did anything else. You know, I was like, Lord, I don't know what I did. And I called her so quick. And it was good I called her because I was able to get a little feedback, check up on her. Also, you know, make sure she's doing good. She's doing good. Lord is stressing her. She got phone rehabilitation to go through and everything. So she's coming along. And so we're going to keep praying for her. And while I'm telling her what to do, the Lord say, refresh the screen. and sign back in. So I refresh and sign back in, and it popped up normal. And she just laughed at me. I said, listen, I just didn't want you to jump on me for starting the program late because I didn't know what to do. And I didn't. But it was the unique thing was after I reached out for help, the Holy Spirit simply said what to do even before she was able to tell me what to do. And that's how God works. He is so unique like that. I mean, that literally happened. She's on the line. She can tell y'all if I'm telling the truth. That happened just like that. I had like, oh, my goodness. What did I do? Lord, help. And so I knew I didn't know how to reset it. I didn't know how to. I didn't know nothing other than what I ended up doing. That was the scope of my understanding. And still, that's the scope of my understanding. But I thank God for it. I thank God for the whole entire Six Eyes Radio Network team. Each one in their respective places. All right, Ken. You say you want. Now this one is the which skit is this one you're going to share?
Okay.
Okay.
What this is? Okay. As everybody knows, when God first created the heaven and the earth, everything was going fine until man turned very, very wicked. And so God told a man named Noah to build an ark. And after he told him to build this ark, he built the ark. And then he told Noah to bring the animals two by two into the ark. And he did. And then the rains came and the deep broke up. And it flooded the earth, and they rode upon the face of the waters for the time that they rode upon the face of the waters. And then when the waters abated, they landed in the mountains of Ararat, and God told Noah to tell the animals to go forth and multiply. So Noah starts at the lower level because there were three decks on the ark. He started at the lower level where the big animals were, like the elephants and the giraffes and stuff like that. He tells him, God says, go forth and multiply. Then he goes to the second level where the smaller animals were, like the wolves and the dogs and stuff like that. He says to them, God says, go forth and multiply. Then he gets up to the upper level where the smaller animals were, like the bugs and the snakes and the caterpillars and stuff like that. He says, God says, go forth and multiply. Well, after he's done, then he goes back to the lower level and checks to make sure that the animals have left the ark. He goes down there, checks all the cages. Nothing remains. It's all gone. It's all empty. Gets to the second level. He checks. They've all left. Then he gets to the upper level, and he's checking, and all the animals are gone except for these two animals, the male and the female, left in the cage. And lo and behold, they are snakes. And he says to them. He says, didn't you hear me? God says, go forth and multiply. And they said, we can't. He says, why not? We're adders.
That's an adder snake. You have to know the breed of snakes. We can catch that. You got to be a snake person to catch that. You got to be a person in nature. That's good.
And then,
I like that.
So the next time I'm going to be sharing some questions that I was asked when I was ordained as a minister that I had to answer.
I was waiting in my ordination
question that were kind of humorous, but I won't tell you what they are, but I'm going to be sending Pastor Bonnet the questions so he can be the one asking like they did to me, and then I'm going to answer them the way I was feeling like answering them, and you're going to see how humorous I saw the questions. But I won't tell anybody but Pastor Bonnet what they are.
That's the one I was waiting on right there. Because that when we go through our what's called scrutiny, it can be something else. I can never. He's Bishop Norman now. Superintendent Norman, when I was going through my ordination and I'm there in the ordination room with all of these other superintendents and pastors that are part of this ordination board, and they already know I'm from the Bishop's Church, and I'm already known because of my forwardness in ministry, and so I'm answering questions because. In the training, you're trained what to do and what not to do and to know what you're supposed to know. And he asked me a question in such a way that it made me stop and think about what I had already answered because he redirected it. And in my mind, I'm like, I didn't say that. I thought I said, and I started thinking about the words I used, the definition of the words I used, and he literally dissected me, and I just paused for a moment. I said, Lord, I don't want these men to think I'm crazy, but I ain't say what he just said. And I didn't want to be combative, and so it made me rethink. And so I never forget mine because it and after I restated what he stated incorrectly that I stated in the form of a question, and I realized that was just to break down if I was being deceptive. And told him, I said, man, I learned the lesson. It was a hindsight. Afterwards, I told myself, you taught the lesson. I learned how to interrogate people without threatening them. I said, because what you did there in that, as you was talking to me, what you did really made me take more than just thought. But they began to share things with me that that's why I'm like I am when I teach, especially when I'm teaching other leaders and people that aspire to be leaders. I'm to a certain level of pushing them to be all that God really has for them. So, yeah, so I can imagine you, though.
But I also got a little testimony I want to share, okay? Speaking of your message, talking about being thankful, recently, two different donors helped me to get two different things, and I will not say who they were. It's between me, God, and that person. One helped me to get a recorder. My old voice recorder took a dive into the tidy bowl, and it went south, and I ended up needing a new one so I could do the recordings for the Six Eyes Radio Network, where we record like our Wednesday program, stuff like that. And that was generously provided. And the second donor has offered to help me to get my text-to-speech renewed, because every year that has to be renewed so that I can operate the board, et cetera, on my computer. So I'm just grateful for both, and I just want to say thanks to those people and thank the Lord that God put it upon their hearts to help me in that way.
Amen.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know if I could give a testimony, too.
That's up to them, Ruth.
If you're also okay with you guys.
Yeah,
okay, this is an unusual occurrence, okay? I went and dropped my wedding ring, and I couldn't find it to save my life. And finally, I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me find this, because I don't want Kenny to have to get me another ring. I walked right up to it. There it was, right there in front of my nose. And I just praise the Lord that he doesn't have to pay for another wedding ring for me. And he's got one just like it, so it's kind of weird. Is that like Mrs. Lovell on Apollo 11 when she lost hers in a shower, and it went down the drain, and she had to get some way to get it out. So that would be something. I would always make sure my rings fit me tight enough to not lose them. Get her guard if you have to. And I do thank the Lord for all of the things that are going on lately. I'm feeling better than I have been. I'm going to see most of my doctors. I even have visiting physicians coming to the house now. If the weather's bad, they could come and see me, they said. So it's kind of nice to have all this. Yeah, so I praise the Lord for what he's doing to help me.
Amen. That is good news to hear. Amen. And I'm glad you found your ring because, you know, Lady Bonnet has had three rings, and I think my position now is I'm gonna get some string and put it. I'm gonna just tie it around your finger. That's gonna be it. I've bought three. Still have my same original, and so I like. I still have my original. So if anybody needs a new one, but I don't need to want another one. I like the one I have from the beginning. And I'm thankful for it. But I would pick on the women right now, but I ain't gonna do it. We are in overtime. I want to thank everybody for calling in on the program tonight. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. You can always go into the Six Eyes Radio Network program through one of two ways. Two of the platforms that we're using that are they are PayPal and so if you're desire and you are on the Cash App platform, then you can contribute to the Six Eyes Radio Network by simply typing in $6Eyes24. That is $SIXEYES, the digit number 2 and the digit number 4. That's $6Eyes24 for the Cash App platform. And whatever amount God has put on your heart to sow, we are thankful. And may God continue to bless you to do even more. And if you have access and you're desiring to give that way, you can give on the PayPal platform by typing in the email address 6i6@gmail.com. That is SIXEYES, the digit number 6@gmail.com. 6i6@gmail.com. And whatever your contribution amount is, be it small or great, it is greatly appreciated. May God continue to bless you in all the things that you do. We love you with the love of Christ. Thank you for tuning in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with Pastor Bonnet. May you be motivated to carry on this whole week. And if not, we have great programming coming on its way. Tomorrow we have the Word with the King. And then we have Wednesday night Bible study and so on and so much more. Hey, you can get this on demand. If you're on the Android or even Apple platform, you can download from your app store the iHeartRadio app. From doing that, you can simply type in Six Eyes Radio. That's right, just Six Eyes Radio. And when you do that, all you have to do is hit follow, and it'll put you into us. And this program or Sunday, if you do it now, Sunday program will pop up first, and you'll be able to have any of these programs on demand to listen to at your leisure and to listen to as many times as you so desire. So God bless you and God keep you. We look forward to sharing with you even more. Those of you that like to help out with the blind ministry program, there's information that's coming to you now from Missionary Ken on those of you and program that you can tune in and listen to him as he gives those information again. Come on, Brother Ken, give us that information on the 2-for-1 Katie.
Okay. First off, the programming that we support especially as our outreach is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m., the Six Eyes Radio Night Wednesday Bible Study, as well as the Jumbo Braille program at 9 p.m., and this Thursday on the Jumbo Braille program, we will be doing a memorial to Jim Onion, our faithful listener who has passed. So we ask everybody to join in and give their memories of him, etc. And then, of course, if you wish to donate to the Holiness Bibles for the Blind ministry, which is the blind ministry Pastor Bonnet has just referred to, there are several options. If you're a PayPal user or wish to donate with your credit card, there is a safe and secure way to do that. You go to our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Go straight down to the bottom of that page to where it says Love Offerings, and you could use your PayPal or your credit card on our secure PayPal button there. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order, just send that check to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. Again, Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. And any amount that you offer, great or small, is greatly appreciated, and God will richly bless you. Amen.
Amen. And from our founder, Brother Six, himself, the one and only Charles Sanford, we thank you for tuning in. Thank you for all of your previous support. We love you with the love of Christ. We're asking you to be safe as you travel. And remember, if you have elderly loved ones in their homes, check on them. Don't leave them alone. Many accidents happen because things go unchecked. So check on your loved ones. If you have a furnace that has to be lit, please get someone who is well qualified to light it to make sure that it's working properly, because we want you to live. Amen. God bless you once again. Until next time, may God be with you. Now, by the grace of God and this communion of the Holy Spirit, may he rest, rule, and abide with each of us here, now, and forevermore. And the church said, amen. Good night.
Good night, everybody.